And then let's get started.
All right, here it comes.
It's Ben and Woods.
Try to say this nicely. When you look at Ben, Paul, and me, it doesn't scream athlete.
With Ben Higgins.
Bicka, bicka, bow, 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 bicka, bow, bow, bump, bump, what, ha, 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 ha. On your mark, ready, set, let's go.
And Stephen Woods.
I want to win. I want to win at all costs. I really do. Other than, you know, lying, cheating, and stealing, I don't want to do that, but whatever it takes to win, I'm willing to do.
Ben and Woods.
Blame it on the Henry.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Yeah!
Hour number three, Ben Woods on a Tuesday morning. Ooh, glad to have mama. You with us here on 97.3 The Fan. We've got Brian Dutcher, head coach of the Aztecs, joining us in 30 minutes. Stay tuned for that. Don't Do This is just ahead as well. Monday Night Football last night. We talked some Padres, the Erickson Profar trade as well. We got Hammer back in studio here, though.
Yeah, Hammer had a question.
I have a question for him first.
Oh, you should.
We can hold Hammer's question.
Hold Hammer's question.
Hammer.
Yeah.
Do you know who Van Halen is?
Yeah, I've listened to them.
Okay.
Nice.
Did you see that was a thing yesterday?
I did.
Billie Eilish, mm-hmm. who is a modern artist.
Yeah, pop star.
Was on Jimmy Kimmel.
Alternative.
And, yeah, pop yeah. star. Didn't know, was tested on some of her 1980s pop trivia.
Yeah.
And was not aware of the band Van Halen. And it became a whole thing. Like, is that embarrassing not to know someone who's old? And at some point, Woods, it becomes okay to not know things from, you know, 20, 30 years ago. I mean, can you name bands from the 40s, 50s?
Yeah, at what point? Mean, from the 50s, sure.
Maybe the 50s. Yeah, some?
Yeah.
I've forgotten most of them.
Well, I mean, like Elvis was in the 50s.
Elvis.
Like there's a lot of blues guys in the 50s. You know, Sun House, guys like that. I love Van Halen. I love Van Halen. I love them. They're literally 17% of the reason I live in California. I'm not kidding. When I was a kid, growing up watching MTV, Van Halen videos would come on. They would be on the beach. There would be smoke show girls with them, and they'd look like they were having so much fun, and it did not look like my backyard in Texas. It looked like California because they were from L.A. And oh, my God, that whole scene and that whole lifestyle and everything they projected made me, as a fourth grader, go, I've got to move there. That's where I want to be.
Has the reality lived up to the Van Halen music videos?
1,000%.
Oh, good.
Okay. 1,000%.
It's always nice not to be disappointed.
Percent. So, I, you know, listen. Here's the deal. It's one thing to say, oh, I've never listened to Van Halen. It's the other thing to say, I've never heard of Van Halen.
That's ignorance,
I think. I was like, I didn't want to, like, tweet about it and stuff because, whatever. But, like, Billie Eilish is actually, like, a pretty cool artist. My wife loves her. She's really talented. I've seen her live before. Really nice. She was,
now,
like, 16.
I could barely have told you anything about Billie Eilish until this week. I couldn't have told you if Billie Eilish was a boy or a girl until probably this week. I had kind of heard the name. Oh, yeah, Billie Eilish.
I thought maybe
like an Irish actor of some sort.
Ah, Billie Eilish.
that was incredible.
Thank you.
Good for you.
I wasn't upset. Look.
But does that make me, I mean, I know I'm already a bit culturally unaware to begin with.
Yeah, I'm giving you a pass because here's the deal. She is a musician in that. She's a musician. Like, it's hard for me to imagine she's never put on the radio and heard Panama or Jump or, you know, Dance the Night Away or, you know, anything. Like, there's a million of them out there.
But no one can know everything about.
But it's not like Van Halen was some obscure. Now, Ben, if I ask you, do you know who Soundgarden is?
Sure.
Okay.
I've heard of Soundgarden.
Do you know the band Tad?
No.
Okay, great. Same genre, same city. Everything else, one's just a little bit bigger than the other. So it's not like Van Halen was some low-level garage punk band. They were one of the biggest bands in the world at the time.
I liked, Wolfgang Van Halen?
Yeah, it's Eddie Van Halen's kid. He plays bass in Van Halen now. It was great. It really was really sweet. He tweeted out, he's blew up. But essentially, look. Billie Eilish is cool. Van Halen is cool. Listen to what you dig, pretty much. Oh, here it is. If you haven't heard of Billie Eilish, go check her out. She's cool. If you haven't heard of Van Halen, go check them out. They're cool, too. Music is supposed to bring us together, not divide us. Listen to what you want. Don't shame others for not knowing what you like. It's not. It's more of never having heard of them. I mean, you could go ask a Major League Baseball player today, hey, man, do you know who Christy Mathewson was. And I bet you two out of ten would know.
Like, probably.
Pick any,
I mean, you
any
know,
random.
Guys in their 20s.
You know, go ask Joey Lucchese. Joey Lucchese, do you know who Christy Mathewson was? I don't know. More than likely, right? I mean, some guys know the history, some guys don't. But I was a little surprised because her music is kind of covers a lot of different genres. Hair metal, I guess, not being one of them. Not that they were really
We have gotten into this culture where we shame people for whatever reason.
God,
whatever they
shame.
Don't know, we make fun of it. We do it a lot on this show.
You do it to me for real or fake every day.
It's in good-natured fun for the most part. When people start getting like angry about it, though,
that's,
then it's like,
that's
just
when
stop.
The problem.
Stop.
Now, look, when I saw it, I was like, wow, really? And I think Billie Eilish, if she sat and listened to, you know, Van Halen 1 and 2 and Fair Warning and Women and Children First, I think she'd really like what she heard. And I bet she does now. Schoolgirl.
All right, so Hammer, good for you, though. Knowledge spanning across generations. Now, you had a question for us as well here this morning.
No, for you.
Just for me.
Yeah,
okay.
So, essentially, like, for me, I just don't understand anything about baseball contracts. So, yesterday, all this is going down on Twitter with, like, these tenderings and non-tenderings, and then I think the word arbitration got thrown in there, too.
Yes.
So, I don't really know what's going on. Like, why are these guys free agents, but then they're not free agents, but they're only signing now one-year deals except Moustakas?
Well, so you can tender a player, or you can nugget them.
That means
so
you be really sweet to them.
Tender is like the bigger contract.
You
the nugget
be
is just the little contract.
I love a good tendering.
Yeah, tendering
is
great.
The tender is the big one, and then the nugget's just like the little bite-sized contract.
Correct.
No, I'm making fun.
Okay, well, now I
no, you know what?
Serious.
You're Billie Eilish.
No, and you know what? I saw a lot of people actually on Twitter yesterday going, why do we have to go through the stereo instructions of how baseball works? You're trying to make the sport more accessible to everyone, and you have these bizarre rules when it comes to contracts.
They're insane.
It's really not that hard. If you follow baseball, you know that the young players, they don't become free agents for 6 years. So you're under control of your team for the first six seasons.
Is that where the Rule 5 draft comes into play then?
It's another level.
Because that's what I want to say.
Another level.
Hey,
yeah.
Hammer's not wrong, right? Like
it is complex. But
you just said it was simple though.
When it comes to tendering, let me see if I can explain this. So let's say you've got a player who's been on your team for 4 years.
On your team being the major league.
Major league team. He's eligible for arbitration. It's his fifth year. He's not
so
a free.
He's on the Padres.
He's on the Padres.
Not the Chihuahuas.
Right. Austin Hedges, Hunter Renfroe.
Okay.
Matt Strom, we're all under that category this year. They're not free agents. They can't just say, hey, agent, I want to go sign with the Mets. You know, go get me a contract. The Padres have their rights, but they do have to sign them to a deal. They still have to pay them, and they have to make the decision whether they want to pay them or not, whether they want to go to that arbitration process. So yesterday, they make the decision whether to tender them, which is basically to offer them a guaranteed contract for this season. So if you get tendered a contract, they basically say, okay, we're signing you for this year. We're not sure how much yet. It's going to be determined based on the arbitration process, what your salary will be.
And so the arbitration process is essentially they go into a room with an arbitrator, an arbiter or an arbitrator?
An arbitrator.
Arbitrator. Think, yeah. And they have to basically sit there, and they will look at your thing, and it would be like you coming to me asking me for a raise. And I look at, well, Hammer, on March 17th, you were late. You were 40 minutes late, and that really threw a monkey wrench. I saw you one time out there on your phone. You weren't paying attention.
So they only focus on the negative and not the good.
The team has, like, a prosecutor, and then the agent will come in and be, like,
the
defense.
And be like, oh, look at his war.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Oh, okay.
But his DRS is, you know, whatever.
And then the arbitrator has to pick between the two numbers that were submitted, one by the team, which is the lower number, one by the player and the agent, which is the higher number, or what usually happens is they just meet somewhere in the middle and say, let's skip the process. We'll just come to an agreement on a contract.
Trevor Bauer, you know Trevor Bauer.
That's the guy pitcher. That only signs one-year contracts.
Correct. He came out last year and said the arbitration process is one of the gnarliest things he's ever had to go through in his life. Just said it was terrible, and that's what he doesn't want to do it again.
Now, there's also been a move lately, the last couple of years, where some teams say, you know what? I don't think this guy is worth as much as he's probably going to get in arbitration. We don't want to pay him $4 million this year. So you can decide to non-tender them, which means we're not going to offer you a contract Then you go on waivers, and you can become a free agent at that point because your team doesn't want you anymore.
So you have to go through waivers for this period.
You will, and other teams can claim you. But at the basically, teams are deciding, do we want this player on our team for this year? Yes, we tender them a contract. Do we not want them on our team this year? No, we non-tender them. We don't offer them a contract.
Like, it's like cutting, essentially.
Yeah. Guys got cut yesterday. Okay. There were a bunch of guys around baseball. Addison Russell of the Cubs got non-tendered.
Cut.
Cubs don't want him. Now, you know, he can be picked up by another team. Kevin Pillar of the Giants got non-tendered. Blake Treinen, relief pitcher for the A's, got non-tendered. These could be guys that'll be interested. You know, there may be a lot of teams that are interested in some of these players.
Oh, there's no doubt. I mean, there were some really fairly big names out there yesterday on
which is what I didn't understand. I was like, why are they, like, Kevin Pillar dominated the Padres last season with the Giants.
But, like, Eric Lauer dominated the Dodgers and pretty much no one
else. But Pillar's still an all-star. So I'm looking at it like, why would you not tender a guy like this?
Because the Giants, and here's the deal. Teams are now being smarter about where they spend their money and for how much. Now, if Kevin Pillar went to arbitration, maybe they would have to pay him $10 to $11 million. And do you want to pay $11 million on kind of a rebuilding team for a broken-down center fielder?
Let's be nice to Kevin. I don't think he's broken down.
Good player, but he's not going to get... Frankly, I don't know that he should get
And you
get
might
that
find
much money.
Someone who's cheaper, who's almost as productive, and maybe... that you want to take a look at. Okay. So you just don't want to waste that roster spot on a guy who's not part of your future plan. So you just non-tender him.
This seems so mean to non-tender a player.
Yeah, man, it's a tough business. Yeah. I mean, and it's like, you know, you saw Mike Moustakas yesterday. He got a 4-year deal, $64 million from the Reds.
So he wasn't up with being tended by the Brewers at all,
right? He was just a straight free agent, wasn't he, Benny? Moustakas.
He was just a straight free agent. Yeah.
Now, a lot of people kind of, whoa, when I saw that, my initial reaction was, whoa, wow, okay. I mean, good player. Like, has been playing on these 1-year deals. You feel good for a guy like Mike Moustakas to get a long-term deal at his age. You know, he's not old, but a 4-year deal for him. Reds are clearly in a mood right now, and the Reds are clearly making moves. They want to go for it. They want to be a winning ball club again. You talk about a phenomenal, phenomenal baseball town and tradition. Cincinnati was it. They were it, and they've been so bad with so many good players that have come through. They just could not put it together. They're making a run. They are going for it in the NL.
And, of course, my first thought was, hey, the Padres are trying to open a window. The more teams in the National League that are also trying to open a window, that's not good.
It's not good. I mean, and that's the thing is, like, we always sit in here and we talk about these prospects coming up, and we talk about the superstars that we do have and the superstars in waiting. Every team has those. Right now, there's a radio station in Cincinnati this morning that is going, hey, not only that, but we got, what's the kid, Hunter Green. We got Hunter Green coming up. We got this kid. We got that kid. We've got, you know, we just picked up Moustakas. We hired Kyle Boddy from Driveline. He's going to whip our pitchers into shape. Every friggin' team has their glut of prospects, except for, you know, there's a couple out there that are feeling pretty bad, like the Pirates fans today.
I can't imagine being a Marlins fan and excited
about
life.
Hey, the Marlins added two really good pieces yesterday, Aguilar and Jonathan Villar, to play second base. Their right side of their infield is now done. 30 bombs from Aguilar, almost a guarantee. I mean, they got better yesterday. So you live in this bubble as a fan of any team thinking, we're on the path. Well, there's a bunch of other teams that are also making these same moves and are also on the path.
Hammer, I want to thank you for asking an intelligent question that I think a lot of people had the same question out there.
Thanks.
This
I
morning.
Felt pretty stupid yesterday.
No, don't. No, but these are the kind of tenders you don't dip in ketchup.
Let me... Yes, that's a terrible joke. There's a guy.
Nice. That was good.
And the tweet that I saw yesterday, you guys know Scott Lewis is his name.
Yeah.
Scott is the CEO, editor-in-chief of Voice of San Diego. One of the best nonprofit, like, he's such a smart, smart dude. When I saw Scott Lewis tweet out yesterday, baseball people, we need to grow the game. Also baseball people, can you believe Jordan Sandoval was non-tender DFA'd with his arbitration value and service years cap F war? Yeah, it's essentially, he's one of the smartest guys I know. It's confusing for him. Confusing for a lot of people.
Makes me feel better.
Yeah, you should, because Scott's like one of the smartest dudes in San Diego.
Woodsy, we've got Don't Do This coming up next. I've got, an even stupider Pete Rose, basically.
Oh, really?
From the world of sports.
Oh, I think I know what, is this?
Yeah.
This is Ankle Guy.
Yeah.
USC?
No, the the guy from the Cardinals.
Oh, okay, yeah, also went to USC.
Yeah,
yeah, he's back in the news again, and I have a cameo misfire, which we know all too well on this show.
Get to that coming up next. All right, stay tuned. Coming up in the next 30 minutes, we will announce today's biggest fan, and we've got a giant prize package. Want to hear about it, Woods?
I can't wait to hear about it.
We got a four-pack of tickets to 97.3 The Fan Takeover Night at SeaWorld on Friday, December 13th. It's a Christmas celebration presented by Sprint. We've got tickets to the Doobie Brothers 50th Anniversary Tour. A pair of tickets featuring Michael McDonald at the North Island Credit Union Amphitheater in September. And you'll be entered into our grand prize drawing, Barry Manilow Vegas Getaway, including two VIP tickets to see Manilow perform at the Westgate Las Vegas. We got dinner in that as well, a spa experience. You all get that by signing up at 973thefansd.com/biggestfan. If you hear your name, you'll have 10 minutes to call us back. If our biggest fan doesn't call, though, we're now throwing it out to everybody. So be listening later this hour. Maybe anyone out there has a chance to win. All right, let's get to it. Time for Don't Do This.
Don't Do This.
It's time for Don't Do This.
Why?
With Ben and Woods.
Let me tell you why I am a dumbass.
Presented by Hamul Casino.
Be there or be square.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Benny, I will get us started today, but first I have a question. Big Manilow guy?
Not really. Oh, I mean, I like Copacabana. I like Copacabana.
That's
good song.
What about Mandy?
It's fine. I'm not a huge Manilow guy.
I literally have never been more surprised.
Sorry.
In my entire life.
Yeah.
I thought you
not a big Manilow
love
guy.
Barry Manilow.
No.
Man, Mandy's kind of a jam. There's a couple of things you want to stay away from. You know, when it pertains to, I don't know, jokes and whatnot, but really when you're dressing, you want to stay away from certain imagery, Ben. And there's a Russian figure skater named Anton Shulapov. Familiar with this young man? Okay. Again, another surprise. He competed in a ice skating competition. Well, Ben, his costume had a theme, and that theme was Auschwitz. And that is one that you want to stay away from. Typically, if you are doing anything, the outfit contains imagery from Nazi concentration camps, including the yellow star they forced Jews to wear and other elements of the Nazi prison guard uniform. Now,
is he at least anti-Auschwitz, or is this?
I don't know. Yeah, it's.
I withdraw the question.
Thank you. The CEO, Jonathan Greenblatt, said, "Listen, we understand the need for skaters to be creative in their choice of costumes. But Anton's apparent decision to evoke painful Holocaust imagery as part of his routine was insensitive and offensive." I would say so. Yeah. I would say that's the one you want to stay away from.
Is it art or is it athletic competition, though? Art, you can be offensive
Yeah,
sometimes.
I think so. And I just, you know, why don't go away from what works? Sequins and things like that.
All right. You probably heard the story of Cardinals defensive back Josh Shaw, as you said, out of USC, who got suspended over the weekend for violating the league's gambling policy. But the don't do this comes from the fact of how bad he was at it. Some of the details emerging from the story. First of all, he signed up at Caesars Sportsbook, and on his player profile,
he wanted to get the card.
He listed his occupation as professional football player.
Genius.
Well, there's a red flag right there. He also was betting on his own team, the Arizona Cardinals, which is a complete no-no. And, by the way, he bet on them. He tried to put them in a parlay with the Buccaneers, the second half number. He failed to cover the second half spread and lost his bet on the Cardinals. I mean, Pete Rose was betting on baseball from all reports for years and years and years and years and got away with it. This guy was like one weekend of one bad bet that he lost, it sounds like, and ends up suspended at least through the next season for gambling on football. He's got to be the dumbest gambler in history here.
Well, he's a bit of a knucklehead. You may remember the story, Ben, that he broke both of his ankles.
Jumping out the apartment balcony.
He said he was trying to save his drowning nephew in a pool. And that was not...
I forgot that was the same guy.
That was not... Manti Te'o got roasted for his fake girlfriend, and Josh Shaw skated for his fake nephew. And he's suspended, the rest of the season?
Next season, too.
And next season.
Yeah, through at least the 2020 season.
Bro.
Now, he's been injured all year, so he hasn't played at all anyway.
Was it his ankles? You know, you know that there are football players that bet on football, but they're probably smart enough to do it through a proxy.
Now, they're not worried about, like, point shaving or fixing because, well, he's not playing.
Right.
And no one parlays point shaving. You just bet a lot on the one game
that you point shave.
Now, if someone ever came up with a scheme where they could point shave, like, 8 games at once and then make the parlay, hey, that's like a movie plot.
100%.
I'm going to make that movie like a giant point shaving night with 8 games
to win like 30 million. I can tell you who won't be the ringleader of it. Josh Shaw, Ben. I don't think he's bright enough to do that. And this is one that we've seen before, but it warrants a return to Don't Do This. Pat Connaughton plays guard for the Milwaukee Bucks. He, like a lot of people, are on Cameo. Now, if you don't know what Cameo is, it's a site service. You can go and you can have somebody read a message. Like we had Michael Rappaport read a message for Ben and Woods. Hey, when you're in San Diego, listen to Ben and Woods, right? It cost us like $50. So Connaughton charges $75 to do reads. Somebody sent him one, and he just got the read and read it. And it says this. Hey, Thin Blue Line, have a great holiday season. We only back you when you come to the Fiserv. We don't take much overall pride in the blue. Remember, Brad? Yeah, it was us. Have a blessed holiday once again. Sincerely, the team. He was clueless about the meaning behind the script. He was paid $75 to do it. But apparently, Ben, it was an anti-police message. And as soon as that got out, Cameo pulled it. He apologized. Now, you may remember Brett Favre did one for an anti-Semitic group posing as a veterans organization. So this...
If they're trying to fool you, I don't know. That's a tough one. That's why I'm afraid of Cameo. Because I don't know that,
that
I...
No one would
I don't
pay
know that
us
pick up
for anything.
True enough.
What would we charge for a Cameo? $5. $5. And I wonder if we would get it.
And that is Don't Do This don't for do a Tuesday. This.
That was Don't Do This, presented by Hamul Casino. Winning excitement has a new name, Hamul Casino, San Diego's newest, closest, and most genuinely entertaining place to play. Just 20 minutes from downtown Highway 94 to Campo Road.
Head coach Brian Dutcher from the 8-0 Aztecs joins us next on Ben and Woods, 97.3, The Fan. All right, let's get right to it. Busy man on the line. We're talking about college football coaches and how busy they are, burning out in their 50s. Hopefully that doesn't happen with Brian Dutcher because he's got his Aztecs at 8-0 right now, off to a phenomenal start. They just won the Las Vegas Invitational with wins over Creighton and Iowa over the Thanksgiving holiday. They open Mountain West play, Woodsy, tomorrow night at Colorado State.
Here we go.
And we've got Brian Dutcher on the line here on Ben and Woods. Coach, it's good to have you on 97.3 The Fan this morning.
Thanks for having me, guys. If I burned out in my 50s, I wouldn't have made it. I'm 60 right now.
That's right. You just had your birthday. Yeah, happy birthday, Coach.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
And we were told that you're heading to the dentist. You get even big-time coaches have to take care of their teeth.
Dentist at 8, practice at 9:15, and then depart for Fort Collins. So a busy morning.
Are they doing the Novocaine, Coach? Because you yelling at the guys with a Novocaine mouth is something I would pay good money to have audio of.
I don't know what they're going to do. I'm a little bit apprehensive.
How do we
do
it? You guys get it together right now.
You lose some effect, I think, Coach. When that
well, Coach, first of all, congratulations on the hot start to the season. Specifically last week at the Las Vegas Invitational, I think based on what I heard from you, you weren't sure how your team would respond, stepping up the level of competition against teams like Creighton and Iowa. Give me your assessment after the two wins now.
I mean, a magnificent performance against Creighton. Obviously, when you beat a team like that by 30, it's not a lot is going wrong. Our defense set the tone. I have great assistant coaches, Dave Velasquez, Chris Acker, Jay Morris. They set a game plan. The kids followed it to a T at the defensive end, and then obviously the offense was rolling. The next night, one-day prep, I thought we did a pretty good job, although Iowa got out on us. They got 16 ahead. We turned the ball over 12 times in the first half, did not play particularly well. But the credit to this team, like they showed at BYU, they have an ability to hang in there, come from behind, and manufacture a victory. And that grit will pay off in the long run.
Well, and it's been, Coach, it's been a multitude of players. And I think that's the mark of a great team is when one guy's maybe having an off night, there are so many other guys that step up. And how has that chemistry, how has it come together so quickly for your guys?
Well, first of all, they have to genuinely like each other. And that's not the case with every team. Every coach may say that, but you're blending 11, 12, 13 different personalities and trying to put them into a unit. And sometimes it's easy because they have a great camaraderie. And this group seems to have that, where they're very much appreciative of someone else's success. They don't feel resentment when it's not them. And if that continues, we will have a chance to have a very good year.
Especially with transfer players. And I know there, you know, guys like Malachi Flynn who've been in the program for a year and had to sit out and practice, but you also have the fifth-year transfers like Yanni Wetzel who just comes in and fits in right away. What was it about Yanni? Did other schools miss him? I mean, what did you see in him, and where is this resurgence coming from? Because he's been a revelation.
Yeah, his path was different. You know, he came from New Zealand. He went to a Division II school in Texas, St. Mary's. In Texas. He had great success there for 2 years and wanted to go to a higher level. So he transferred to Vanderbilt, sat a year. And so he only had 1 year at Vanderbilt. It wasn't like he was there 4 years and they were developing him and it just didn't work out. He was there 1 year. They had a tough year. They fired the head coach. And then Yachty decided he was going to leave. And we were very fortunate to get him. He made two visits, Texas Tech and San Diego State. We were fortunate to get him.
Well, I attended college at Texas Tech for a short time, and I can see why you guys won out here in San Diego, Coach. It's Brian Dutcher, head coach of the Aztecs. And, Coach, you know, yesterday we were kind of kicking around the morning, you know, thinking the Aztecs may crack the top 25. Obviously, it didn't happen. From your perspective, is that something that you monitor? Is that something that you care about? I know probably some of the players were disappointed, but at this early, you know, juncture of the season, do you care really about that?
You know, it doesn't affect our performance, whether we're ranked or not, but it affects national perception. And at the end of the day, if we stumble in the Mountain West tournament, we want an opportunity at large bid. So anything we can do to promote San Diego State, to see our name up there amongst the other teams, I think is a good thing for us.
It is somewhat unfair that with, you know, the lack of opportunities, if you want to say it, for, you know, quality wins in league play, that there's a lot of pressure on your team early in the season. If you don't perform well early, you know your season comes down to three games in Las Vegas. Do you feel like you've at least built some of that cushion and opportunity where you're going to get some consideration at the end of the year?
Yeah, I think the wins we have are quality wins, but that will remain to be seen depending on how these teams finish in their conferences. You know, right now they look great. So we need Iowa, we need Creighton, we need BYU to all have really good years, and then that will help us. Obviously, we just got done playing 5 games in 10 days, which is a really tough stretch. Now we play 5 games the entire month of December. So we have to make sure we're ready for every one of those, and the toughest of the five, in my opinion, is going to be this Wednesday in Fort Collins.
Well, and that's the thing about Mountain West play. It may not look as good on paper when a committee goes into a room in March, but when you have to travel in December somewhere where it's, you know, travel delays, weather delays, playing at altitude in an arena like Moby Arena at Colorado State, you go ahead and, yeah, bring the committee in there and tell us that wasn't a good, tough opponent when you go into a game like tomorrow's.
Yeah, unfortunately, they don't see it like that. And we know what it'll be. I mean, the fact that it's the opener, everybody's in first place right now. I think they're on a 3 or 4 game win streak, and they're playing good basketball. So it will be a real big challenge for us on Wednesday, and we have to play well enough to escape with a victory.
Malachi Flynn was named Mountain West Conference Player of the Week. That was a no-brainer after what he was able to do at the Las Vegas Invitational, especially. Just kind of give us what makes him special as a player and what you've been able to see from him in the first 8 games of the season.
It's all swagger. I mean, he feels he's the best offensive player on the floor every time he steps out there. And so when he was struggling with his shooting a little bit earlier in the year, he still produced. He had game of 10 assists, game of 9 assists. So even though he's a scorer, he's not one-dimensional. He's a good playmaker, but when he gets going like he did against Iowa, he's as good a scorer as there is out there.
And then, you've also got returning players like Mac Mitchell as well. As Wood said at the beginning, it must be nice for you to know that you don't have to rely on just one guy every single night for scoring, for defense, that you've got a deep bench. That might be the toughest job you've got, huh, is getting all your players who deserve playing time into the game.
Yeah, and I never thought I'd be going this deep. I know they're all good players. I feel bad when I don't get them in there. But the fact is, I'm playing 10 guys within the first 10 minutes of the game, and all of them are productive. So the end game is fresh legs at the end. So as long as these guys can handle the frustration of not being in extended periods of time, if they'll take those short segments and play as hard as they can for their Aztecs, then I think we've got a chance.
Well, Coach, again, congratulations on the fast start. Just personally, did you feel any extra pressure going into this, your third season? And you know, basically all of the players now on the team are guys that you've brought in, you know, post-Steve Fisher, that this was going to be a bit of a more of a defining season for you as a head coach?
No, not really. I just am comfortable in my own skin. I like my coaching staff. We go about things the right way. We're about the student-athlete first, trying to make their experience a positive one, both in the classroom and on the court. And if you do that, then good things will happen.
He's comfortable in his own skin. But
what's that like, Ben?
Will he be comfortable in the dentist chair?
Yeah, 15 minutes.
I won't be comfortable in the dentist chair.
All right, Coach. Well, good luck. Good luck with the dentist. Good luck at Colorado State tomorrow, and we'll chat with you again soon. Thank you very much.
I appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Coach. Brian Dutcher, head coach of the Aztecs, 8-0, but still, like the rest of us,
still got to go to the friggin' dentist.
Has to go to the dentist.
Yeah, it's. I always like think about if you're. I mean, Coach Dutcher obviously is. It's big time program and everything else, but like, what if you're a megastar? Like, do you have your own? I've always wondered that. Do megastars have some secret world that we don't know about, Ben? Like, does LeBron James have to go to the DMV? Does he have to go to the DMV, take a number, sit in line, go up?
I've heard rumors of like secret.
That's
like,
what I wanted
DMV
to know. Yes, is there a secret
for celebrities? But I don't know if it's true or not.
I think there's a whole network of stuff we don't. I think there's a whole network of things that we don't know about.
I know they have their own airline terminal, like at LAX now. Like
I've heard
celebrity
that. Yeah, celebrity
terminal where they don't have to mingle with the rest of us.
Can you imagine?
Even if they're on like a regular flight, like it's not a private plane,
right?
They, you know, they have like that American Airlines flight 327. They go to their own terminal and then they just have this shuttle bus that takes them right to the plane. Get on first class, whatever. They don't have to mingle in the terminal with the rest of us peons.
So LeBron James sitting at the DMV and he walks up and the lady's like, yeah, can I help you? And he's like, I need to renew.
Do you have an appointment?
I need to renew my license. All right. Oh, you didn't fill out the paperwork. You're going to have to go get back in line.
Sit there
for three hours. Does that happen to LeBron James?
Wouldn't it be all over like Twitter and stuff every day?
Yes, if he was there.
Like, wouldn't every day there be like social media of, hey, the celebrities at the DMV, but you never see that.
Never. I think the DMV, I think there's a secret DMV, and I'm going to get to the bottom of this. I really am. I need to know somebody that knows somebody.
We'll work on that coming up. About to announce our biggest fan as well. First, though, let's get a check of traffic right now on 97.3 The Fan with Suda Vinson.
This report is brought to you by the San Diego Zoo. Got a spin-out accident southbound 15 south of the 56, now on the right shoulder. But, boy, we had three lanes blocked earlier, so traffic on southbound 15 just crawling well north of the 78 by Deer Springs. Meantime, southbound 5 also bumper-to-bumper, Carlsbad down to Cardiff, and on the northbound side of 5 and on the 805 heading out of the South Bay. Jungle Bells at the San Diego Zoo featuring Aurora, a brand-new multi-sensory show of sight and sound. It's performing December 13th through January 5th at the San Diego Zoo. Learn more at sandiegozoo.org. Sid Vincent with Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan.
All right, remember, if our biggest fan does not call in the next 10 minutes, we're going to open it up to everyone. So here's the prize package that we're about to give away to someone. We've got a four-pack of tickets to 97.3 The Fan Takeover Night on Friday, December 13th during the SeaWorld Christmas Celebration presented by Sprint. Experience over 1 million lights and the all-new shows and attractions like the Sesame Street Christmas Village, the Winter Wonderland on Ice Show, and the Cirque Christmas Show. And we've also got a holiday bonus pair of tickets to see the Doobie Brothers 50th Anniversary Tour featuring Michael McDonald at the North Island Credit Union Amphitheater in September. You can win them before they go on sale on December 6th on LiveNation.com. And our winner will also be qualified for the grand prize drawing. It is a Barry Manilow Vegas getaway. It includes two VIP tickets to see Manilow perform at the International Theater at the Westgate Las Vegas, dinner for two at the Edge Steakhouse, plus a Serenity Spa experience. Having said all that, here it is. Our biggest fan today is Brandon Kurtzen. Brandon Kurtzen, you are on the clock. You got 10 minutes to call us at 833-288-0973. 833-288-0973. If Brandon doesn't beat the buzzer, We'll open it up to everyone else right at the end of the hour here, Woodsy.
Now, you're out Thursday, and I'm going to have to do all this crap. I'm going to have to read that 40-minute read. I'm going to pre-record it, I think, before the show and just play it.
So you don't have to worry about it live?
Yes, that's exactly right. Your chair's very squeaky. Have you noticed that?
A little bit.
Starting to lose some of its luster.
All my chairs get squeaky. I think I'm hard on chairs. Let's just say that. My work chair at Channel 10 is squeaky. Work chair here is squeaky. Now, that's not just me. Coach John Quintero sits in this chair.
You, Coach Ello.
Porcello sits in this chair every day.
That's a good, solid half ton, I think.
Me and Coach are big guys. Chris isn't that big, but he's very fidgety.
He moves around.
Move around a lot. So I think this chair has
seen
days.
Its better days.
It absolutely
may
has.
May have to take that out to the chair graveyard.
Did you see AJ Cassavell from MLB.com covers the Padres, came out with his 10 best games of the decade.
I saw that.
10 best Padres games. You can argue that until the cows come home. How many great games can a team that didn't go to the playoffs the entire decade have? Most teams would probably fill that list in playoff games.
Yes.
Padres don't even have one to get into that list. They don't even have the game 163 was more than a decade ago.
That was 2009?
That was 2007 was the game 163 against the Rockies.
It's been...
how long it's been. The last time they played a competitive game in September was 2010.
I was here. I just moved here.
They came down to the last weekend of the season, three games behind the Giants, three games in San Francisco. Of course, they won the first two and then lost the last one to finish two games back the end of the year. And really, since then, it hasn't been much. So he had a couple. I mean, he picked a couple. There was Hunter Renfro's walk-off grand slam last season.
Dude.
That was a lot of fun. There was some recency bias there. There were a few games from 2010. I bring it up not because I'm really interested in debating what everyone's favorite game was for the Padres the last decade. It's the fact that now that we're here in December of 2019, we are going to see so many end-of-decade lists.
Ooh.
And rankings. It's not just in the sports world. I'm sure they'll be doing it in
music
and movies, in just about everything. It's going to be a go-to shtick for the next 4 weeks because, decades don't end very often.
They actually end all the time.
Well, every 10 years.
Every 10 years. You can actually count on it.
Technically, as people will point out, the decade doesn't really end until the end of next year. Yeah, because...
Yeah.
You think of the first decade, the first year was one, and then end of 10 is the end of the decade.
So 11 to 21.
But it seems a lot more significant when you change the calendar from 2019 to 2020.
Correct.
So I understand why everyone wants to do their end of decade stuff now.
How many end of decade bits are you going to want to do on our show?
I just don't know. That's the thing. I mean, AJ's already did the Padres' best games. Top 10 Chargers moves from San Diego to Los Angeles in the decade.
Top 10 best Chargers losses. That's a good one because we could take there's like six from this season alone we could do as the best of the decade. It's been quite a run for that team. I'm way into the best albums of the decade. I'm way into the best movies, the best TV shows. Now, listen, I hate List Radio. There may be some List Radio coming up in this weird time of year.
The end of decade exception.
There is an end of decade exception, List Radio. I'm not just going to read them. We'll come up with something cool to do, but I think it's important that we acknowledge.
Is it weird that one of the things I'm looking forward to when the calendar turns in January is that we get to an actual decade that we can once again describe? It's going to be the 20s.
The 20s.
Because it's this decade.
The aughts.
It was the aughts, which was weird. And now is it the tens? Is it the teens? What has the last 10 years been? The tens? That doesn't sound right. But the 20s?
The 20s. It's great.
Looking forward to it.
Could be the Padres decade, man. That's what we're hoping for.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
I mean, we got Jurickson Profar now. Jurickson Profar, whatever you prefer. We've got Trent Grisham. Kyle Davies or Zach?
Zach. We got Zach
Davies.
You're going to give us your... Are your lineup versus lefties?
Yeah, we'll do our lefty lineup now.
In our 8 o'clock hour,
very
right?
Excited.
So, yesterday, Woodsy did his
righties.
Potential Padres lineup against right-handed pitchers. It wasn't like blow you away, like, wow, that team's going to the playoffs for sure.
Yeah.
Maybe the one against lefties will look better, more exciting.
Totally.
Or maybe not.
Totally.
Maybe there's still more work to do. this offseason. So, yeah, I just I've noticed that you're going to start to see that trickle out of end of decade lists. And
I'm a fan. I'm a fan of that, of those, and I might put together a couple. My video blog with my son is getting a little old.
It's really same. You just started. It was just like
it's
2 weeks
like
ago.
It's been like 6 weeks.
Has it been
and
6 weeks?
It's getting a little old. You can see that on our Twitter if you like. What's our Twitter? At 97.3 the Fan SD, and that's out there. A new one today. It's getting old. I may just start putting together some lists for my. Totally voluntary blog that our boss does not force me to write every week.
All right, couple
passive aggressive text.
Couple of notes here at the end of the hour. NFL last night. We talked about Monday Night Football earlier. Big game for Rashad Penny as the Seahawks beat the Vikings 37-30. So we talked about yesterday. That was actually the desired outcome for the Los Angeles Rams.
Yes, yeah, they had to be rooting for the Seahawks
in our opinion.
Night.
So the Seahawks now actually are in first place at 10-2. They have the tiebreaker over the 49ers at 10-2 based on their win over San Francisco. The Rams are 3 games back at 7-5 with 4 games to play. So they're pretty much like we can't catch either Seattle or San Francisco, but they can catch Minnesota. And the Vikings right now at 8-4, just a game ahead of the Rams. And they have the same number of conference losses, which is the tiebreaker's usually conference record. So if the Rams do pick up that game on the Vikings in the last 4, there's a good chance that the Rams could still go to the playoffs
yep.
this year, which...
Which would be kind of shocking right now, right? I mean, it would be kind of shocking. They looked, again, like they were kind of on their way out. I mean, they beat the Cardinals, and they put in a new game plan. They got Jared Goff rolling again, you know, kind of short passes, and it worked. It worked. Sean McVay kind of figured out a way to game it once again, and... You know, he's a really good coach, got figured out a little bit this year, and he's had some guys banged up, but he got them going again, and I think they can build off that.
I mean, the Rams still have to face the Seahawks. That's coming up this week. That's the Sunday night game. Critical at the Coliseum. I mean, if you lose that one, you're in trouble. You got to go to the Cowboys, go to the 49ers, home against the Cardinals. So you got a pretty brutal schedule the last 4 games, but they're still in it. And if they play well... they have that opportunity. But, yeah, you look at that gauntlet. I mean, the Cowboys haven't been playing well, but going to the 49ers and hosting the Seahawks certainly looks like a challenge. You're going to have to win at least 3 out of 4, you'd think.
Buddy, I'm glad you're here because if I had to explain those playoff scenarios, it would not be pretty.
Well, this is
it would not
actually
be smooth.
I think there is at least 14 different clinching scenarios Ooh. Coming up week 14. Even like the Buffalo Bills
yeah.
can clinch a playoff spot as soon as this weekend. So you're going to start. One team is in. The Saints are the only team that has officially clinched a playoff spot, but that is going to start changing probably as soon as this weekend. So, yeah, Rams aren't out of it. You know, they're going to have to play a lot better. It can't just be one win over the Cardinals to get them healthy. They needed that, though, to at least get a confidence boost going into the last quarter of the season.
Seahawks look good, man. They really did. They looked. You know, they kind of facing some adversity early and some unlucky breaks. No big deal. No problem.
Yeah,
Battle
I mean,
back.
You know, I mean, you've got Russell Wilson as an MVP candidate. They now have 2 running backs.
Yeah, that look phenomenal.
Vikings had a good run defense.
Yeah.
And they torch over 200 yards between Carson and Penny on the ground. That is a serious performance. All right, coming up in our final hour, we'll talk to Jessica Kleinschmidt from NBC Sports Bay Area, get the lowdown on Yorickson Profar coming over to the Padres from the A's. Also, is it time? Of course it is. For a college football playoff, Rocky Long says so. That's next with Ben Woods on 97.3 The Fan.